Good morning. Welcome to each of you. We're glad you're here. In my last message, I started going through the book of Ephesians. This morning, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. God has blessed us. And I'm guessing that if we were to ask you this morning to name the blessings that God has given you, we wouldn't hit very much of this list that Paul gives here in Ephesians. They're very important blessings, and this passage is so huge. I'm just going to just be scratching along on the surface here, but I appreciated that song that we sang. It said, "Beyond the sacred page, I seek you, Lord." So I trust this morning as we look into Ephesians here that we won't just see words on a page, but we'll see the God behind these words, the God who spoke these words through men, the God who is revealing himself to us. So let's just ask ourselves some questions here to get started. What is your value? How much are you worth? I'm not talking about net worth. I'm not talking about what you own. I'm talking about you. What is your value? If I was to ask you, I'm sure I'd get a lot of answers. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but I'm guessing there's some of you here this morning that feel worthless or close to it. And I want you to see this morning as we look into this passage, you're not. You're not worthless. You're worth an awful, awful lot. So we want to ask ourselves, what is our value? What or who decides your value? Does your worth, your value depend on what others think of you? Does it depend on how your day is going? Does it depend on whether your plans are working out or not working out? Whether everything's fallen apart? Where does your value get its determination? And again, we have to ask ourselves, what lies have we believed about ourselves, especially in relation to our value? I'm guessing most of us at some time or other have struggled with how much we're worth. What our value is. So we want to ask ourselves about that. Would you be willing to allow the truth to set you free? That's what the truth is here for. And as we take hold of truth and make it the basis that our lives are built on, our value is built on, then we become valuable. Of infinite value. What if someone, and here I'm talking about God, placed a higher value on you than you could ever imagine about yourself? What if God looked at you and said, "You are so valuable. That I'd give my only son to make you my child." Pretty awesome. Let's look at it this morning. In Ephesians, let's just look at the chapter here. We looked at verses 1 and 2 last time as an introduction. Now, verses 3 through 14, he talks about all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then the 15 through 23, the end of the chapter, Paul is talking about how he prays for them, what he desires for them. This morning we're looking at chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And it looks like part of it's got cut off there on the screen, Josh, but we'll be all right there. Turn in your Bibles if you want to. You notice that I highlighted and underlined the blessings here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I asked Aaron to lead that song, Come Let Us Adore Him, because that word blessed, blessed be God, means adore. We are asked here, or encouraged, or challenged by Paul to bless God, to adore God. Come, let us adore Him, our King, our God, the mighty God, an awesome God. We are blessing Him because we are adoring Him because of what He's blessed us with. According as, or even as, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And that Beloved there should have a capital B. It's referring to Christ Himself. And so, while it's a small B there, it really should have a capital. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded up toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now, again, I'm only going to scratch the surface this morning of this passage. I've been just really meditating on this scripture over the last several weeks, month. And I think I probably could preach from this chapter for a year and not have any trouble. There is so much here. But I just want to give you some helps this morning to be able to look at a passage like this and start to find some things. I just want to refer to this. The word heavenly places that he talks about here, Paul is the only one that uses this, and it's only in the book of Ephesians. So it kind of has a unique concept, this idea of heavenly places. He made us sit. He blessed us in Christ, here we read. And then He's seated in the heavenly places, Jesus is, and He makes us to sit with Christ in the heavenly places. And the purpose of all this is to prove to the principalities that are in the heavenly places, He's talking about Satan and his host, to prove to them God's manifold wisdom through the church. So those are the things that are going on here in the heavenly places. Now, in this first slide here, I circled all the times that he's talking about the Father. You may disagree with one or two of these. Some of them are a little bit hard to determine whether he's talking about the Father or about Christ. But I want us to notice something. When Jesus was here, he said, I and my Father are one. He said, I am here to do my Father's business. I am here to glorify my Father, to make my Father look good. So when we look at the ultimate thing that we need to see is, we need to see God the Father. And Paul is just, well, you can see, he just loads it on in this section of Scripture about the Father. I just heard something the other day that I thought was really good. This person said, if you don't know the love of the Father, you need to get alone with God until you know His love. Because you are not going to be victorious. You are not going to be a disciple maker. You are not going to be a good witness for Christ until you know the love of the Father. I think there's something to that. Because what Paul is telling us here is these are all things the Father has given to us, has made available to us through His love for us, through His purposes, through His plans. And I guess I would think from that most of our struggles, most of our problems as Christians has to do with knowing that God the Father loves me. Do you know that today? You need to. You need to. Now, this is talking about Christ then. So I'm just trying to show you a little bit here how you can take a passage like this and you can start looking at it and find just so much here. The Lord Jesus Christ, and He talks about in Christ, in Him. All of these things are happening in Christ. All of these blessings that God is giving to us, He's giving to us in Christ. We don't find them anywhere else. We're not going, there is no place that you can go and get these blessings except in Christ. That's why God sent Christ to this earth. So that through Him we can receive the blessings that He wants to give us. So there's just a number of things there that He's talking about that are in Christ. The plans that God has, the purposes that God has, all that He's doing. And here's about the Holy Spirit. So He talks about God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit all in this passage. But did you notice something? Did you notice something as we looked at the Father and at Christ and at the Holy Spirit? What did you notice? Okay, the importance of the Father seems to be significantly greater, doesn't it? The Father is mentioned a number of times. Christ, not quite as much. And the Holy Spirit, even less. Interesting. So when Paul is looking at this and giving us all of this and thinking about what we have from God, it's not that the Holy Spirit is not important. We need Him. We have to have Him to live the Christian life, to walk in God's ways. But the Father takes the preeminence. And that's important for us to remember as we look at the Scripture. Now, here's looking at according as. According as He has chosen us in Him, according to the good pleasure of His will, according to His good pleasure. Everything that comes from God has been planned and executed by God. So it's out of His plans, out of His purposes, out of His wisdom. All of these things come to us. And so we need to pay attention to that. There's something very significant in this passage. He says He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. This phrase is an interesting phrase. It's a phrase that's found several times in Scripture. It's always related to God's work and God's plan. There's actually a couple of different meanings here. When we look at it, we think a creation. And that is one of the meanings. But something I read said that the Jewish people looked at this as when man fell. That when evil got a foundation in the earth. When it got a hold. So either way, it was before either one of those that God made these plans. Now, let me ask you something. What kind of people were the Ephesians? Remember when we looked at the background and so on? Where was Ephesus? Who remembers? What current country was Ephesus in? Turkey. And it was on the sea, right? And also a river came down to the sea right there by Ephesus. It was a seaport. It was a place where anything that was available in that part of the world was there. All kinds of worship. Remember the goddess Diana or Artemis was there. So Ephesus was a pretty plush place to live in that time of the world. A lot of things were happening there. And so, you know, as we look at that, we start to realize that Paul is writing this to, and he says it's to all the holy ones, the faithful ones in Ephesus and throughout the world. So it's an important thing for all of us. Now, I want us to notice this also. It's His will, His grace is where all of these blessings come from. I think that's important. How many of you woke up one day and said, I want to know God? You knew nothing about God up until then, and all of a sudden one day you just woke up and said, I want to know God. No. God revealed Himself to us. God poured out His blessings to us. And so I think it's important in all of this passage where He's talking about God's blessings, it's all for His will and His glory. That's important for us to notice. Now, another thing that we want to look at when we look at a passage like this is the purposes. So he writes a number of things here, and he gives us a number of these blessings that are from God, and then he tells us what the purpose is. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You think people in Ephesus could be holy and without blame before God in love? You think so? How many people here today are holy and without blame? You have no blemish in your life. Anybody? You're not blessed by God? I noticed something in there. He says that we should be. He didn't say we should become. He didn't say that we should do. He said we should be. God chose us before the foundation of the world, chose us in Him so that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's something to chew on for a while. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. It was all about Him. That He might gather us all together. And that comes up in Paul's writings, how the Jews and the Gentiles are aliens. The Gentiles are away from God, but God brings us together in Jesus Christ. He gathers together in Christ. I think that's important. Then he says that he's worked everything according to the purpose of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. So there's purpose here of what needs to be done. And then after that is the phrase that comes up there at the end. Now, I want us to just look at these blessings here this morning that he gives to us. And I want us to just think about them a little bit. The first one is that we are chosen in him, in Christ. I don't know if you remember when you were a kid and people chose teams for whatever purpose, playing ball or whatever, and you were the first one chosen. What did that do to your value of yourself? Felt pretty good about ourselves, didn't we? What if we were the last one chosen? Not so good, right? We'd kick our feet in the dirt, and we stood there, and we knew good and well that I was going to be the last one that got picked. You know what? When God chose us, he didn't stand there and say, no, I'm not choosing him. Till the last one. He chose us in him before the earth was even made, before sin entered the world, before any of this came about. God chose us in him. He wanted us to be in his family, to experience his love, to experience his blessing. You know what he wants that, who he wants that for? He wants that for all mankind. He desires that for all of us. Those who respond in faith to Jesus Christ receive that. Secondly, he's adopted us in Christ. The picture here is that Jesus comes to earth. He gathers us to God. And he says, in Hebrews, he says, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. So, Jesus comes and he gathers us as children and he brings us to the Father. And we are adopted into the family. God says, you've received these. I'll adopt them. And then he goes one step further and he says, we are accepted. We're accepted in Jesus Christ. I'm guessing that there's a number of us here this morning who believe a lie that God does not accept us. Paul lays out this blessing for us. We are accepted in the beloved. If you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are born again, you are accepted in Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, he sees you in Christ. And as long as we abide in him and he abides in us, that continues. And so it's important for us to remember, God has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It was his plan. Redemption is a price that's paid. God had made us. He owned us. We belong to him as far as creation. But we went our own way. And Jesus shed his blood to redeem us, to buy us back from the slave market of sin, buy us back to God. Now, we talk about Christ shedding his blood, but think about what the Father did.
You want to get a good picture of this, go back into Genesis chapter 22 and look at Abraham and Isaac. It's a really good picture. It's a type. It doesn't get everything, but it's a picture of God expressing His love for His Son and His desire to see us redeemed. He lavished on us wisdom and insight. One of the things that you want to notice here in God's blessings is that God is not stingy with His blessings. Every one of these blessings that He's given to us, He has poured out in abundance. The word lavished here is such a good word. He's lavished on us. That picture is that we don't deserve any of it. I'm just going to tell you today, if you deserve any of these things, you don't have them. Sorry. You don't get them by deserving. You don't keep them by deserving. You get them and you keep them only by accepting in faith what God has done and what He has given to us. We need to remind ourselves of that, because it's pretty easy for us to start thinking we're good enough, or we're better than this person or that person. We deserve it. No, we don't. He lavished it on us. When did He do this? When did this happen? Before the foundation of the world. Where were you? Deserve any of it? Earn any of it? No. He put it out there for us. His purpose is to gather or reveal His mysterious will to us. That's His longing. That's His desire. That's His plan. That was His purpose. Paul talks about this, how this mystery, God had this mystery down through time, through the Old Testament. And all of a sudden when Christ comes, the mystery is open and it's revealed. And now it's here for us to understand and to take hold of and to receive, to make our own. And so one of the blessings that God is giving to us in Jesus Christ is the revelation of His will, of His purpose, of His plan that was mysterious in the past, but now is revealed. He's gathering all of us in Christ. I've talked different times about John 17 and the oneness that Jesus prays for there and the purpose of all of that. But God's desire is, as you receive Christ and I receive Christ and this person and that person receives Christ, that we are gathered together in one, in Christ. We're gathered together. That's not talking about coming to church. That might be a picture of it. But he's talking about all of the saints from all of the ages, from all of the nations and all of the languages being gathered in Christ. And we see that happening in a finality in Revelation. But he's working at that now. And so we need to participate in that as well. He has an inheritance for us. Now, if you had a son, and that son did like the prodigal son, and went his own way and squandered everything that you had given him, and then came back and said, "I'm sorry," what would you do? Would you share an inheritance with him? They already gave him his inheritance, right? You're going to share some more with him? That's a picture of us. You ever think about that? We ran from God. We rejected God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Everyone. But now he says he's given us an inheritance. You know what inheritance that is?
We're joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? When you're joint heirs, you know what that means? You get the same inheritance, right? So he's saying, now we have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. It's ours. God gives it to us. He offers it to us because we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we're walking with Him. He desires, His plan, His blessing is that we should be to the praise of His glory. Are you making God look great? He wants you to. You know what? If you live in those blessings, you receive those blessings for your own, you're going to be to the praise of His glory. It's just going to happen. It's part of it. And we can try all day to make God's name great, but if we have not received the blessings that He offers to us, we're not going to make it great. And then he says that he sealed us with the Holy Spirit, which secures us until redemption. The Holy Spirit is like a seal placed on us. And as long as that seal is there, we are secure. Until the time when God redeems all things. He's given us redemption in Jesus Christ. But there's coming a day when He's going to redeem the earth. He's going to redeem nature. All of those things are going to be redeemed. Now, let me ask you this morning. What are you doing with the blessings that God wants to pour out on you? It's interesting. If you look at the first part of that passage, he says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means that God has given everything that He has in the heavenly places to us through Christ. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is giving those gifts. And Peter says, God has given to us all that we need for life and godliness. Now, from God's perspective, when you look at this, it's very clear. He has done everything that He possibly could do for us. Absolutely everything. There is nothing more that He could do for us. That's why these blessings are so huge. Because they're everything that heaven has to offer. Everything that God has to offer is here on the plate. That's why it's so important for us to take them. To make them ours. To live in them. To share them with others. So that we can be to the praise of His glory. Let's stand together for prayer. I'd just like to challenge you, before I come to the next message, read the rest of that chapter, verse 15 to the end, and see what Paul prayed for the people at Ephesus and for us, and learn how to pray for others. So, Father, we thank You. God, we are so amazed at how You have gone to unlimited ends
Lord, to pour out on us your blessings. You're great. You're a merciful God, a gracious God. You have given to us blessings in Jesus Christ that we do not deserve. You have given to us the opportunity, Lord, to be your children, to walk with you, to experience your righteousness, your holiness, your goodness, your greatness within our own hearts, within our own lives. And Lord, we bless your name. We ask you, Lord, to take this word and open it to our hearts by your Spirit. Remind us, Lord, day by day of what you've done for us. And help us, Lord, to live our lives to the glory, the praise of your glory, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.